and through, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut ropes and held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground, if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, and at the same time untied the ropes and held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck the sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word to us. We want for a short time this morning to look at the theme together, living in the promise, because that's what we find in this account of Scripture. Living in the promise. The Christian life begins with life in the promise. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the Christian life begins by trusting God's promise. And so it follows that the Christian life must continue by trusting God's promise, because the Christian life is a life of faith. A life of faith. Now the background here is important. Acts was written by Luke, Dr. Luke, around 70 AD. They're entitled the Acts of the Apostles, but they can also be entitled the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was moving mightily among Jew and Gentile. There was a wonderful working of God. There was much fruit through the preaching of the gospel, and thousands were brought to faith in the Lord Jesus in Asia and in Europe. We read of Paul's three missionary journeys, and it's well worth looking at Acts chapter 13 through to 21, and we find how God led him in his missionary journeys in these chapters. Now, Paul has gone through much testing and suffering because of his faith in Christ. And when we have faith, it will be tested. Faith will always be tested. Real faith will always be tested. And so it was with Paul. Remember how on the Damascus road, he set out to destroy the Christians and to bring them into prison. And Jesus met him, and he was wonderfully converted. And then remember in Acts chapter 9:15, Ananias received the word from the Lord, "Go, this man is a chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." And so there's this great prophetic promise from Ananias regarding Paul. And of course we know that Paul has appeared and testified before Felix and King Agrippa. That came to pass. And so the context here, as Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus left Jerusalem ultimately for Rome by ship. Paul, of course, is a prisoner of Rome. There were altogether 276 on the ship. That included prisoners, sailors, soldiers, merchants, and a great cargo of grain. That's the context. And all of a sudden, a typhoon or a hurricane arose, and the boat was battered. God gave Paul a promise which he declared openly. They had ignored Paul's earlier advice. And the promise was this in verse 22. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. So here's the storm. And all of a sudden, God gives to Paul a promise that not one would be lost. Then he goes on to say, "Last night an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you.'" So the promise is given by God and is declared in the storm. A promise from God declared in the storm. And so we want to look for a time at living in the promise. How did this work out? How does it work out in our life? Paul, Luke, Aristarchus, and if there were any other believers on the ship, we're now to live in the promise received in the storm. They're to live in the promise in the storm. And in our lives as Christians, we can read God's promises in His Word and say, "Amen, amen, amen." But the challenge always is in our lives is to live in them. It's to live in the promise. And so may the Lord teach us and challenge us and enable us from our study to live in the promise for God's glory, for our good, and for our witness to others. Here's the ship in the midst of a hurricane or a typhoon with 276 people on board. And we read in verse 27 that the storm was constant. Often there can be a trial that can be constant, or a testing that can be constant. On the 14th night, we were still driven across the Adriatic Sea. Now, the Adriatic Sea, this sea is between Italy and Malta, Crete and Greece. The storm seemed to be in control. The storm seemed to be in control. And in the Christian life, when difficult and testing times come, they seem to be so constant that they can seem to be in control. Controlling our thinking, and even controlling our perspective. And so we want to learn from God's Word this morning that in our account we see two groups of people in the storm, just two. And we see two reactions to the storm, and we see two responses to God's promise. So two kinds of people in the storm, two reactions to the storm, and two responses to God's promise. First of all, the sailor's response. Look at it. It's a natural response. It's a self-orientated response. Verse 27, about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They could maybe hear the waves breaking on the shore. Their feelings dictated their actions in the storm. And so often that happens in our lives as believers. Our feelings dictate our actions when times are difficult. What did they do? They took soundings, measuring the depth of the sea by letting down a weighted line. The water was 100 feet deep. The second time it was 90 feet deep. They're getting nearer the land. And in the sailors we learn what dominated and directed their following actions. It was fear. And that's understandable. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Someone said this, who lives in fear will never be a free man. Who lives in fear will never be a free man. And in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let down the lifeboat into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. What's happening now? There's deception. They're pretending they're going to lower anchors, but they're now lowering the lifeboat. And the sailors were trying to go their own way. So what do we learn from their reaction and action this morning? We learn this. That fear looks for alternatives. When we're in the storm, so often we look for the alternative. We try to handle it. We try to get out of it. We try to manipulate it. Whereas faith looks to the promise. And too often in our Christian lives, rather than waiting on God and trusting His promise, we take things into our own hands. And what happens then? What happens to me? What happens to you when we do that? First of all, we speculate. Then we interpret. And then we conclude. So fear led the sailors to try rather than to trust. Is the Lord saying to us this morning to trust? Stop trying. It's interesting what happens next. Paul's response. It's not fear, but it's in the promise. It's faith. Living in the promise. Chapter 27, 24. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." And relayed the rest of the promise. Then Paul said to the centurion and soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." God had promised to give Paul their lives. The lives of the whole company. The soldiers respond. They believe Paul's words. Look at it in verse 32. The soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. What do we learn here? The alternative is gone. The alternative is gone. And in the Christian life, we must believe. We must believe God. We must live in God's promise. And be ruthless with every alternative. It's not I trust God and I trust something else. It's not I trust God and I trust myself. I trust God. We present ourselves before Him and we trust Him. If He is our Heavenly Father, He cares for us. And if He's our Heavenly Father, He's promised to look after us. And so the alternative here is gone. But then we find something else here. We find Paul's counsel and care. And that's the result of living in the promise. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. Verse 33. There had been no regular meals since the storm arose. 14 days since they had a real meal. The constancy of the storm had affected them in every way. And Paul is living in the promise and declaring to them the promise again. We need to hear it again. We read a promise once, let's underline it in our Bibles and go back to it again. And again. And again. And again. And say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you today. I don't trust myself, but I trust you. And so out of that context, we see Paul's leadership and care. Paul is living in the promise and declared the promise to them. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And we see how the Lord enabled Paul, who was the prisoner, yet spiritually free, to give leadership. But he's a prisoner. And he's in a storm in the Adriatic Sea. How can he be free? He's free. Inside. And dear friends, that's the freedom that the Spirit gives us. It's that freedom inside that reminds us that God's in control of our lives and the context of our lives. Paul gave thanks for the food, witnessing to God's provision and giving God the glory. And the 276 on board were all encouraged. They were ministered to by God's servant living in the promise. And if we are living in the promise, as God grace enables us, we will have that word in season. And Paul loved the Lord and had Christ's love in his heart for all on board that day. And if someone said, if we have love in our hearts, we always have something to give. After they had eaten, they threw the rest of the grain into the sea to make the ship lighter to reach the shore. And then we see finally the promise fulfilled in 39-44. When daylight came, they didn't recognize the land. It was that long since they'd seen land. And then they saw the bay with the sandy beach. It's believed to be St. Paul's Bay in Malta. They decided to run the ship aground. Cut loose the anchors and tied the rudders so the ship could be steered towards the shore, hoisted the foresail to the wind, making for the beach. But the ship hit the sandbank with the stern broken to pieces. They were still in the storm. So near the land, but still in the storm. So near the land, but still in the storm. The soldiers were going to kill the passengers to stop them swimming away and escaping. Kill the prisoners. Now in Roman law, if a prisoner escaped, the life of the guard was taken in his place. But then we see something wonderful here. We see the promise at work. The centurion wanted to spare Paul's life, keeping them from carrying out their plan. God at work in the life of a Roman centurion. Paul lived in the promise. And the centurion ordered those who could swim to jump overboard, first to get to land, and the rest were to get on planks or on pieces of the ship. And this way everyone reached the land safely. Now who knows what happened in the lives of those on board that ship? We don't have a record. And Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus, God was at work. In the life of the centurion, God was obviously at work. The soldiers, the prisoners, the merchants, and the sailors. Who knows? And this through a man called Paul, who received God's promise in a ferocious storm and lived in it, and rejected the alternative. You know, every Christian today is called to live in God's promise. You are, aren't you? Whatever that might mean for us. Does fear or faith influence our life? We don't need to fear tomorrow. He has it in his hand. And as we trust him, he has us in his hand. We don't need to fear next week or next year. Ralph Waldo Emerson, an eminent 19th century theologian, said this: "The wise man in the storm prays to God, not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear. It is the storm within which endangers him, not the storm without." The wise man in the storm prays to God not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear, because it's the storm within which endangers him, not the storm without. So in conclusion, living in the promise is in our hearts. When we don't understand, when we don't see a way, keep going. To keep going. And Paul received the promise from God. And by God's grace, he lived in the promise, even in the storm, and saw it wonderfully fulfilled. May God give us grace and strength to live in his promises. Because the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In the storm, yes. In the calm, yes. On the mountain, yes. In the valley, yes. They're always the same. Vance Havner said this. He says, "As believers, Jesus we all have. He is all we need and all we want." And then he says this: "We are shipwrecked on God and stranded on omnipotence." We are shipwrecked on God and stranded on omnipotence. We need not fear in the storm, as we live in promise. Lord, we ask that you would bless your word to us today for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name.